the Russians have always been condescending towards the Chinese, our Asian brothers, and we helped them back in 1949. But since about the year 2000, the tables have been turned, and now a lot of politicians in Russia say, well, we have quite a few things to learn from the Chinese experience.
Kirill Norzhenov, a Far East Russia expert at Australian National University, says while China and Russia share about 4,300 kilometres of border, the ethnic differences have always been a great divide. On the Russia side, the gulags and forced internal migration of Siberia's last millennium is a far cry from the new prosperity in northern China, just across the border and close to the capital, Beijing. While the Chinese have been willing to cross the border to the depressed areas of Far East Russia, Russians have, until now, stayed on their side of the divide. Kirill Norzhenov says that's all changing.
First of all, of course, we're not talking about large numbers. We're talking about hundreds, maybe thousands of people. It's not a mighty avalanche of ethnic Russians packing up and leaving to settle permanently in China. And the explanation is really simple. It's economical reasons, really. So there is a big city of Blagoveshchensk on the Russian side of the Amur River, and there is the Chinese city of Heihe just across the river. I think it's 750 meters between the two cities. And the real estate prices in Chinese Heihe are five times lower than in Blagoveshchensk. And social infrastructure is much better developed. I mean, clinics and TV stations, restaurants, public transportation. So what happens is that Russians, mostly pensioners, including military pensioners, perhaps the very people who used to fight the Chinese 30 years ago, are now packing up and going across the river. They take advantage of the fact that it's a free economic zone and they don't need visas to cross to the Chinese border and buy flats, apartments in Heihe and live happily ever after. So that's it, really a two-way movement. The Chinese are coming to Russia to make money and the Russians are going to China to spend their money because they get much more in return for their pension rubles.
China is not used to such external migration issues. Having to feed and house non-Chinese could have unexpected results.
Until recently, it was not a problem at all because money spent by Russians fueled the remarkable economic growth in China. But again, lately, very lately, we're talking about the past year or two, there have been some restrictions placed on who can buy a flat or an apartment and become a naturalized permanent resident in China. I guess there's pressure on the Chinese side as well. Well, look, we can't feed or house properly our own people and now all these foreigners come. It's a problem that may grow in future, but it will not be something that will poison the bilateral relations.
I still don't think they see it as a problem of concern for the national policymakers. However, on the border areas, if the Chinese citizens in the area begin to feel that somehow their opportunities are being exploited or impinged upon by Russian immigrants, then that would be a concern.
Dr. Sunio Akaha is the editor of Crossing National Borders, Human Migration Issues in Northeast Asia. He says annexation fears are always a real threat, especially on the Russian side, who have constantly seen Chinese migration as a peaceful invasion. Russians moving to China, however, are seen differently.
On the Chinese side, I don't think there is any sense that the Chinese territories are being occupied or taken over by the Russians who are coming in. In fact, they think they look at the influx of Russians or new Russians, including some rich Russians, as a business opportunity for themselves.
Back in Russia, says Kirill Norzhenov, an emerging China, once scorned by Russians, is now seen a lot differently.
It's fascinating that if you read the Russian press these days, and of course there's a lot of discussion of what President Vladimir Putin is going to do after he steps down as president in March next year. And the most common metaphor that you'll find in those press clippings is that, well, he'll be Russia's Deng Xiaoping. So not Charles de Gaulle, not, I don't know, Ronald Reagan, but Deng Xiaoping. So it's a little cultural anecdote that shows that, well, the Russians have lost their superiority complex and are perhaps dealing with China as equals, in terms of development.